Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
There was a man who were off to a rough start one morning. He was running late to work, and also the children gave him a really hard time with noisy around the house. And to top it off, he accidentally spilled his coffee over his best shirt that he prepared for the very special meeting coming up. So frustrated, he blamed his wife for putting the coffee at the end of the table, at the edge. Later that day, his wife was on his way to her way to her top of his lunch, and he accidentally knocked his lunchbox, and lunch went everywhere in the car. He laughed, looked at her, and said, "Oh, looks like it's just a looks like it's a you know it's a get even. It's a get even for that coffee that was spilled earlier on." So they both ended up laughing about it, realizing how silly it was to hold grudges over little mishaps that happened that day. I don't know whether you experienced that this morning before you came to church or yesterday, but this is reality of life. Even in small little things, we struggle with this. How wonderful it is that we get to celebrate baptism, two lives, one earlier on and again the service. We're told that, reminded baptism, it's a public declaration of a new life, a fresh start, a step into something bigger than ourselves. And that something bigger is a life connected to God through prayer. But not just any prayer like, "God, help me find my car keys," or, you know, "forgive my partner for spilled coffees," and all of this kind of thing. But a prayer life built on forgiving spirit. We continue our sermon series, Building a Life of Prayer. But not just, you know, it's a simple prayer. A prayer life built on forgiving, but also it's a focus on prayer that kind of transforming us, changing us. That's the kind of deep diving that we're going to do, as we've been doing throughout this series in the last few weeks. If you missed the last couple of sermons, I encourage you to go online and download, click, and watch, and then share it with someone else. Whether you're here as a believer, maybe you're curious or skeptical, or even a bit of doubt about prayer or faith, this message is for you. First, let me give you a slight little brief background to the text that we're going to look at today. Following the Lord's Prayer that we dive into last week, the idea of prayer continues, and where Jesus said, in starting in verse 14 on Matthew chapter 6, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." When you heard the word forgiveness, you kind of wonder, what does forgiveness has to do with prayer? You know, Jesus here connects prayer and forgiveness so tightly that you think they were Siamese twins. Here in this context, Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray. And the phrase "forgive us our debts" in the other translation used the same, the imagery of a debt to describe sin, which is something that we owe but we cannot pay on our own. Forgiveness is here not just a casual kind of let it go, but a profound release of the moral and the relational debt stepped between us and God, but also us and others. And he makes this direct connection that being a forgiveness from God, is tied to our willingness to forgive others. You know, it's a heart-to-heart, as we just sing, and in connecting our heart to heaven, that's the kind of prayer, that's the kind of relationship, that's how deep it is. This is not about earning salvation by works. This is very much about living out the reality of our salvation, as we've seen today. You know, prayer is the heart-to-heart relationship with God, and forgiveness is the heart of that relationship. But if God has forgiven us an enormous debt, how can we refuse to forgive a small offense? The theologian explains this as a reflection of God's grace in our hearts, that if we truly grasp the magnitude of God's forgiveness, then we should naturally become forgiving people. But why does this matter today? In our fast-paced, often self-centered culture, forgiveness can feel like a weakness or a loss. Social media sometimes encourages us to call out the offenses rather than forgive them. But Jesus calls us a different way, a way of freedom and peace. Maybe some of you are thinking about the current things that are happening right in our community now. I can see all the mind thinking, but how can we forgive him? The perpetrator, they're doing damages. Keep that in mind as we keep working through what is really on about here. Because forgiveness is not just about the other person. It's about freeing ourselves from bitterness and anger. And you might argue it is a righteous bitterness, it's a righteous anger, particularly of the current issue in our community, that poison our prayers and our lives. You know, I heard a preacher once say that sin can either lead us to prayer or lead us to shame. And when we pray, forgive our debt, we identify our sin, but do not let it define us. Because we all know that our identity is in Christ, our Savior, not in our failures, not in our crutches. So how can we better understand prayer in light of what Jesus is teaching us this morning? Three things. Forgiveness is essential. That's the obvious. We start from forgiveness is not optional. Jesus said, if you forgive others, God forgive you. If you don't, he won't. That's not a suggestion. It's almost like a spiritual law, divine law. You know, imagine if your phone only worked when you were nice to your siblings. Some of us would never get a text, an SMS. But that's how prayer works when we hold onto unforgiveness. Our connection to God is kind of jammed somewhere. Because prayer without forgiveness is trying to breathe with a blocked nose. It's hard, it's uncomfortable, and it doesn't work well. And when we hold grudges or refuse to forgive, it's like a spiritual congestion that keeps us from fully connecting with God. You know, imagine trying to call your best friend on the phone, but you're so mad at them that you keep hanging up every time they say something you don't like. You know, that's what unforgiveness does to your prayer life. It's like a bad phone plan with dropped calls and no signals. Forgiveness clears the channel. It's the essential oil that lubricates the gearbox of offering our prayer, because without it, prayer can get stuck and dry and ineffective. Now, I get it. Sometimes forgiveness sounds easier than said done. Maybe you've been hurt deeply. Someone's wronged you in a way that feels so unforgivable. But Jesus isn't just giving us a nice idea here. He's giving us a spiritual principle that he's saying, if we want to pray effectively, we need to forgive. Just forgive. So why forgiveness is essential? Forgiveness, you know, reflects God's heart. It's the foundational in our relationship with God. We are forgiven people. And that's our identity. He cares so much for us. You know, when we forgive, we're imitating our Heavenly Father. We've been singing, we want to be like you, Jesus. We want to be like you. Baptism. It's a picture of forgiveness. We experience it. We've seen that today. It's a picture of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. washing our sins and giving us a fresh start, not in a pool. This all happened before we come into that place. So if you, you know, you are making a public declaration for those of you who got baptized today that I am forgiven, I belong to Jesus, and I want to live like Him and continue to do so. But here's the catch. If we want to receive God's forgiveness, we have to pass it on. It's just like playing footy. You can't run and keep going because you hold on to the footy, you get marked for running with the ball. That you have to pass it on. It's the ultimate paid forward. God says, I forgive you now. Then you go on and forgive others. It also keeps our hearts unclogged. It's the only way to truly pray. You can't talk to God about love and mercy while plotting revenge in your heart. It's about me. It's about me. Let's be honest. Forgiveness isn't easy. If it were, Jesus wouldn't have to command it. Sometimes forgiveness feels like letting someone off the hook. But here is the twist. Forgiven isn't about letting them off the hook. It's about letting yourself off the hook. You know, it's almost like you're running with a bag of rocks and you're running a marathon. And who carried the weight? It's you alone. Secondly, forgiveness is expected. It's not a nice extra deal for super Christian. It's the standard. Because the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to say, forgive your debts. Notice the order. Forgive your debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. But notice the order. We often twist it by saying, we ask forgiven as we forgive. That's a dangerous prayer because we are basically saying, God, treat me the way I treat others. That's a dangerous one because if we treat others unfairly, then you probably expect God to do the same. But that's really dangerous to think like that. So why God expect forgiveness from us? Because we have been forgiven so much. If we kept a record of our wrongs, the list would be longer than a Costco shopping receipt. We forgive because He has done it first and most and continue to do that. So it's a witness to the world. You know, 2 Corinthians, Paul said that we are an ambassador. We are the witnesses. When we are showing forgiveness, it's different, it's unique. The world will know that we are His disciple. It's a command, not a suggestion. He didn't say, just try your best. He said, forgive. You know, I once tried to hold a grudge and pray at the same time, and it's almost like trying to eat the soup with a fork. Have you tried it? Is it fun? It's just messy. And that's what's it like. Here at Catalyst, we believe that prayer isn't a religious score. It's a relationship. It's like talking to a friend who knows you inside out, loves you no matter what, and wants to walk with you through every high and low. But here's a question for those who perhaps not yet come to that point of really believe yet. What if prayer is more than just words? What if prayer is more than just on your knees? What if prayer is more than just closing your eyes? What if prayer is an invitation into a relationship that transforms you from the inside out? What if the God who made the universe is actually just waiting to hear from you, not to judge, but to guide you, to heal you, and to empower you? Why not think of prayer as an expected daily practice of life? Because that's how we connect with God. Jesus sets the bar so high that He expects us to pray with a forgiving heart. Why? Because that's how we reflect God's love. His expectation of us when He teaches us to pray is that it's not about perfection. It's not how wise and how beautiful you craft your prayer. It is how you are willing. It's the willingness. Willingness to what? To let go of the bitterness, to release the anger, to open our hearts. And thirdly, forgiveness is empowering. When Jesus says, if you forgive others, your Heavenly Father will forgive you, He's pointing us to a very powerful, unique truth. Forgiveness frees us. It frees us from the chain of resentment and anger and hurt, the things that weighed us down. But here's the good news. Forgiving is just a hard work. It's powerful. It changes us. So what happens when we forgive? We become more like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. We become like him. On a cross, Jesus prayed, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We experience freedom, victory. Our prayers become powerful. When our hearts are clean, our prayers just rise and soar like eagle. Corrie Ten Boom, a name that is often mentioned on this pulpit, who survived a Nazi concentration camp, once met a God who had tormented her. And he asked for forgiveness. She didn't want to forgive, but she prayed and God gave her the strength, and she discovered that forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a decision. And when she forgave, she felt set free. You see, prayer with a forgiving spirit isn't just about us being nice to each other, because anyone can do it, whether you believe in God or not. The easiest thing to do is being nice, even though some find it hard to do. But as for us as Christians, why is it unique? Because it's about unlocking the power that changes us, the power that comes from God. It's about stepping out of the victim role. Step into the role of a victor. You know, that's a person who can love, who can heal, who can be transformed because the freedom he's experienced. And deep but simple truth is that prayer, forgiveness, changes us. It doesn't just change circumstances, but it changes our heart because it's a heart that connects with God. And a heart that forgives is the heart that is set free to love, to grow, and to live fully as a forgiving Christian. So why prayer and forgiveness go hand in hand? Because early on, what is forgiveness has to do with prayer? Why can't we just pray? You can pray. But here's the thing, you can't separate prayer and forgiveness because they're like peanut butter and jelly. They're better together. But why do they go together? Because prayer softens our hearts. When we pray, God reminds us of his mercy. It's forgiveness. The forgiveness clears the static, that it removes the interference so that we can hear God clearly. Both prayer and forgiveness require humility. That means to pray is to admit, God, that we need. We need the forgiveness. To forgive is to admit that we are not God. You know, a child prayer at night with his mom, and he prayed, Lord, bless my mom and my dad, but also bless my little brother. And even though my little brother has been mean to me, can you forgive my little brother even when I don't? Isn't it sometimes we can be like that in our prayer? We see God forgive, but we struggle, we are working or taking a long time for us to work on it. So how can we build a life of prayer with a forgiving spirit? By prayer with a forgiving spirit. Here are some of the things that if you want to build your life, your prayer life, if you want your prayers to be powerful, if you want your prayers, if you want God to move in your life, if you want to build your prayer life, then start making forgiveness as a daily habit. A daily habit. That's the step to practice first. Start small. You don't have to be complicated in your communication with God. Even if you have not prayed or don't get the idea of praying, start simple. Lord, I'm here. Lord, I need you. I need your help. Lord, I'm struggling to forgive. How hard is it to pray daily? Daily check in, every night ask, even though you can't remember who if you can't remember that if anyone that you need to forgive. But you'll be surprised that if you do it each day, you might be surprised that the names come up only because you make it a regular habit. Just keep daily. Lord, is there anyone? Is there anyone? Let go quickly. Do not leave it to build up, because the more it builds up, it's harder for us to work in that forgiveness. Rely on God's strength, because forgiveness isn't natural. It's supernatural. So we really need to ask God for help. Letting go. The great theologian of the movie, The Frozen, he wrote the song, "Let it go, let it go." Forgiveness is essential. Why? Because it connects us to God. It's almost like the oxygen of our prayer. We breathe effective, vibrant prayer, because forgiveness is the fragrance, the oil, the oxygen. Forgiveness is expected because it reflects God's forgiveness. It's the family trait of God's children. For anyone to be a part of the family of God, that's part of our inheritance. Forgiveness is empowering because it sets us free and releases God's power in our lives. It changes us and it changes the world around us. Let's not be people who pray with clenched fists. Let's open our hands and release those crutches and experience the freedom instead and power that comes from praying with a forgiving heart and spirit. So as you build your life of prayer, why not build on a solid foundation of forgiveness? And remember, a heart that forgives is a heart that is set free to love, to grow, and to make a difference by forgiving those that you're struggling. Remember to pray effectively. Make it a habit to forgive, to forgive. Once again, on the cross, Jesus prayed. Remember, he prayed. He did not preach. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we just landed on the powerful word of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who show us what it means to pray with a forgiving spirit, forgiving heart. May there be the foundation that covers all that we are planning to do. It comes down to the foot of the cross. Let it be the empowerment of our prayer life, so that forgiveness turn into a friend instead of an enemy. Because we can proudly say, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, we live, we talk, we work, we serve as a forgiven child of God. Whoever is in our mind, in our hearts, scratching because of the feeling, because of the hurt, whatever it may be. Lord, pray Holy Spirit just minister to that deep place. Clean, heal, transform us, because there's the power and the strength of your word and what you can do. But allow us, Lord, to let go because of who you are. In name Jesus, we pray, and all God's people say, amen.